You're listening to the podcast of Innovative Readiness Training, a program of the Office of the Secretary of Defense, whose focus is to provide mission-ready forces through military training that deliver key services for American communities. Welcome, one and all, to the inaugural podcast for Innovative Readiness Training. Innovative Readiness Training lives at irt.defense.gov, but there are many ways to join the conversation and follow along on Twitter and Facebook at IRT's Win. That's IRTS Win. I'm your host, Kalen Ballman, and today I'm joined by Captains Kelly Machado and Jen Fagan of the Air National Guard. Before we begin, I would like to ask each of our guests to briefly introduce themselves. I'll start with our IRT Public Affairs Officer, Captain Machado. Ma'am, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Kalen. Hi, I'm Captain Kelly Machado, IRT Public Affairs. Born and raised in Hawaii, I'm prior active duty Air Force and am currently in the Air National Guard, attached to the 101st Air Refueling Wing, Bangor, Maine. Last year, I joined IRT full-time as the Air Guard Medical Project Manager, and this year, I'm thrilled to be IRT Public Affairs.
Great. Thank you, Captain Machado. And as previously mentioned, she's joined today by Captain Fagan. Ma'am, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Kalen. Captain Jen Fagan, I've been in the Air Force for 16 years now. I have had the pleasure of serving the Innovative Readiness Training Program for 4 years. I started off as a unit planner, was the Air National Guard Program Manager for a while, and have since moved on to be the Operations Officer of the program overall.
Excellent. The topic of today's podcast is how to craft an effective community application. Whether you're a community member who is new to IRT and thinking about applying for a mission, or you've participated in a previous mission and would like to do another one, we think you'll find this episode particularly helpful and insightful. Diving right in, the IRT program receives 80 to 100 community applications annually and typically conducts around 24 OSD-funded missions. How do you decide who gets picked and who doesn't? What sort of criteria is OSD looking for?
I'm not personally part of the selection process, but am familiar with the fact that we receive a number of applications which are not filled out as completely as they could be. For example, I've seen numerous applications which were missing required documents. I've even seen applications without email contact information or final signatures. It's difficult for the selection committee to consider an application where they have so much work to do before the mission selection process even starts.
Captain Fagan, what do you think?
Our military units select our community applications based on their training needs. And of course, it all boils down to training, training, training. Don't be discouraged if your application is not picked up, though. Just apply again for the next year.
There are also non-OSD-funded missions. How are those designated, and what's the difference between an OSD-funded mission and a non-OSD-funded mission?
OSD-funded missions are usually joint service, which means we offer the mission to all the branches of service which participate in IRT. OSD-funded missions also have a much longer timeline from start to finish, usually 24 months long, which includes the planning meetings and a lot of coordination between the services involved and their community partner. Non-OSD-funded missions are usually supported by only one branch of service and are able to get up and running in a much shorter timeline, sometimes as short as 3 or 4 months.
Exactly. As she stated, non-OSD-funded missions are much smaller in scope and more local to the military units that are participating. One example we had out of Ohio is they built a playground over a series of guard drills, which is their 1 week in a month that they train to. And they built it over about 5 to 6 months.
So for our listeners out there thinking about applying for a mission and wondering what they need to bring to the table, describe for us what IRT can and cannot do.
Our purpose is training our troops, so we can do anything that the troops who are participating in the mission can support. It's all about training. If our units don't need training in what's being requested, then we won't be able to do it, even if we wanted to. However, if it is needed training and a unit has the capability to fulfill the community request, the sky's the limit. The great majority of our missions are medical and civil engineering, but we do have others. For example, we also have transportation, aerial spray, and cyber missions, so if there's something you know the military does that you'd like to apply for, please do. We'll work to match your requests with units who need the training.
And as with all things, the IRT program does have certain restrictions by law. We must operate in the United States and its territories. We cannot provide our own law enforcement, and we can't respond to natural or man-made disasters. However, we can integrate into long-term recovery efforts like we've been recently doing in Puerto Rico.
Excellent. Thank you both. So let's say I see a lot of prospect in applying for a mission, and I'm ready to apply. How soon ahead of the application deadline should a community apply? Captain Machado, what do you think?
If the community partner is ready to apply, by all means, they should apply. Our team members will have more time to work with the community partner if something is missing.
The sooner the better. We take applications all year round, and as we all know, we live in a very dynamic world that is constantly changing. At any point in time, our military units can be searching for community partners to meet their training needs for the current or even next fiscal year. As we discussed earlier, the application process is a bit longer for an OSD-funded mission. So, for example, community applicants who are requesting a mission in 2020 were due in September 31st of 2018.
Are there other attachments that go on the application? How important are they? Could either of you elaborate?
All applications must have two public notices and the proof of advertisement attached, but there are also attachments specific to certain types of mission requests.
As we discussed earlier, too, the best way to understand the full scope of required documents is to look at our sample applications online. But one other attachment that's a really important piece is the environmental documentation for our civil engineering projects. This piece of documentation is important because it gives our military units a good understanding of the project timelines and where you're currently at.
Thank you, Captain Fagan. Considering everything we've discussed, including the fact that some missions are OSD funded, whereas others are service component funded, how broad or narrow should the scope of mission proposal be?
I've talked to applicants who thought if they focused on one or two things they really needed, their application would be considered higher than if they requested everything they wanted. That's not true. Again, think about it. We're looking for the best training opportunity for our troops. If an applicant only puts down two things they're looking for, but none of the military units are in demand for that training, then that application doesn't support our number one selection requirement, training. However, if that same applicant added everything they were looking to have done, and the selection committee saw training opportunities units could use and chose the application for a mission, well, once the unit is planning for the mission, the initial items that were high on the community's list but low on the military's training list may possibly be worked into the mission as the unit or units will already be there.
Exactly. And in addition to that point, including future year plans is also important as it helps our military units match and coordinate efforts with your community plans and their future training requirements. Most projects and applications we see are part of a larger initiative. And by including that information in the application, our units can expand or narrow the scope as it pertains to their training requirements now and in the future.
I'm hearing a lot of great things about IRT, and this is all excellent info to guide those thinking about applying for an IRT mission. Before we wrap up, I'll turn it back over to you for any last tips or words of wisdom. Captain Machado?
If you're interested in an IRT mission, don't wait. Apply. Even if you're trying to fill out the application and are not certain of the specifics, apply. The earlier, the better. Once the application is selected for a mission, we will work on the details with you.
Excellent. Thank you. Captain Fagan, the floor is yours.
Thank you. I really couldn't say it better myself. The time is now. We have exceptional members as part of our team that are looking to meet both the needs of the community and our military partners. So get in there and take the first step in making your community a better place.
Captain Machado, Captain Fagan, thank you for your time and thank you for all you do in support of IRT and our nation. And thank you out there for listening in today. Visit irt.defense.gov to learn more. Or as always, you can join the conversation on social media at IRTSWIN on both Facebook and Twitter. Please look out for the next podcast in the series where we'll be looking at steps for planning a successful initial planning meeting for missions.